Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to the Neil and Kristen Baker Psychic Hour. Today, we are continuing our discussion. A little tongue-tied today. Continuing our discussion about achieving balance, body, mind, and spirit, and taking calls for on-air readings. We didn't get to our topic last show, but we do have a caller in the queue right now. We'll take our caller and then maybe get into our discussion. Hopefully, we'll have a chance for that. I do want to let callers know or listeners know, 914-338-0164 is the call-in number. Press 1 if you'd like to speak with us, and 562-596-7818 is the number to call for further conversation. We'll bring on our first caller here. Hi.
Hi, Kristen. This is Erica.
Oh, hey, Erica. I was recognizing your number, but I was recognizing your number, but not remembering who it was attached to.
Oh, I was looking at some of the pictures. Did you cut your hair short? Is that what you
did? I did.
New hairstyle. Oh, it looks good. I was like, oh,
Thank you.
Tempted now.
What did you say?
But I said, I'm tempted now, but I'm not going to.
Yeah, it is liberating. Yeah. It's nice not to have, well, I still managed to spend time fixing my hair, I guess, with the short. I managed to spend time fixing my hair, but it's much easier for sure.
Looking
how are
good.
You doing?
I'm pretty good. I just took an offer yesterday for a job as a receptionist for a law firm. It's not what I wanted, but it gives me the opportunity to move back to my hometown and the ability to like build my law resume. So I'm thinking, why not? You know?
Yeah. So why the job that you were looking to do, the internship, wasn't it an internship or something?
I wasn't an intern. It was like a just an administrative assistant position. And he actually called me yesterday and he's like, hey, I'm ready for an interview if you are and blah, blah, blah. And I was like, yeah, I played it cool, you know. but I had already taken the other position. But, I got to keep it open just in case anything, you know, comes up or whatever.
Right. So what state are you? Are you in the same state right now? You're in Washington? Are you from Washington?
Yes. Uh-huh.
And are you... You haven't moved from Washington for this. I mean,
I'm
like for school.
Are
you still in Washington?
Yeah, I'm still in a college town. I'm in Spokane, and I'm trying to go back to Yakima.
Okay, and this is where the new job is.
Yes. Yeah, and he's it's a small practice. It's just the attorney, a receptionist, and he owns the firm. So I feel like there's a lot of, like, I can help him grow, and I have a few ideas. He opened it about 7 years ago, and I feel like his website could use a makeover. It's really outdated. And I think that he could use me and I could use him. Type of deal.
Well, congratulations. What was your question today? What is your question?
I want to know, like, what other ways can I help him build clientele besides, like, my own ideas and, you know, the website? But, what other ideas do you think? You know, I also offered him a deal through WorkSource. It hasn't gone through, but I'm hoping, because I already applied and was approved for the Spokane area. WorkSource pays the first 2 weeks of your wages 100%, and if the employer decides to keep you, then they pay half of your wage for 3 months. So that's an extra bonus for a small firm, and I feel like that money can be invested into growing the clientele. Right. Like promoting himself.
Advertisement. I mean, does he do any advertising?
I don't think so.
Like
he didn't even advertise a position.
I don't know. Television is kind of like, I mean,
commercial.
I mean, I have a negative association with lawyers I see on TV. I don't know if that's common, but maybe print ads in the newspaper. I don't know what you think, Neil.
Well, who is this guy? I mean, how old is he? How long has he been in practice?
He's been in practice for 7 years of opening his own, but he's been working for almost 20 years for a nonprofit law firm. And he's kind of old, but not too old.
Oh, how old is he?
I don't know, like maybe in his early 40s, I would think. Yeah.
Boy, we're
going to our next caller.
Anyways,
so, you know, I don't, you know, he's been in practice 7 years. I'm not sure if he's just kind of doesn't have it or doesn't know, have the swing of things. You know, was he sit around twiddling his thumbs waiting for work to come in? What's the conditions of the office and clientele?
I don't know how well it's doing, but like, I just feel like when I came in on Friday, they were really, really, really slow. So I'm not trying to insult his business. I don't know how well it's doing, but I would like to have more business is really what I would like to do.
He sounds like an old Sam Spade movie waiting for a client to come in, like someone's going to come in, you know, with a gorgeous woman holding a cigarette and say, I want to commit a murder, you know, I want to report a murder or something, and he goes on the trail. It's like the guy's hanging. Well, let me ask you this. Your connection to your father, your upbringing, did you ever brainstorm with your father? Did he allow you to give him ideas? Was there any connection between you and your father in that way?
No.
So you kind of say it pretty flatly. Was there more of an estrangement between you and your father?
Yeah, he wasn't around, so.
Okay, so this is your opportunity. Lawyer seemed to be intrigued by you? Is he open to your ideas?
I think so, yeah. He even asked me, like, in the interviewing room, he's like, so what would you like to change in this room? And I was like, well, we can start with the curtains. I was just kidding, though, but, yeah. I mean, I think he hired me for a reason.
And he's looking for your input on more than just, I mean, he's not just hiring you as a receptionist. He's looking for you to, you know, provide some insight into what he needs to do with his business.
Is the, Erica, do you know if he's married?
I think he is. I'm not sure, but I think he is. He should be.
Well, I don't know. It sounds a little bizarre to me. he's so
consulting the,
behind the eight ball. I mean, he's like he's. Well, you're. Go ahead.
I don't think he's the type of person that really likes to like. I don't want to say he's a shy type of person, but he's like non-controversial. He's like, you know, on his own little bubble. He doesn't want to expand in terms of making other offices or bringing more attorneys to his firm. Nothing like that. It's mainly, you know, he likes to be on his own. He likes to do his own thing, you know?
Are you aware of any cases he currently has?
Yeah, he has a few cases, I guess, and some really old cases, too. I don't know why, but, you know, at least 10 years old.
What kind of attorney is he? What does he handle?
He's an immigration attorney.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I see. All right, so I can understand. That's presenting a little bit more picture to me.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, that's a tough place because, from my understanding, immigration attorneys I don't think they make a whole lot of money.
They're more probably in it for the helping people, which is a good.
And he might be getting a fair income. He's got a small office. He helps people. He likes the underdog and all that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, sprucing up his office and that's okay. That's harmless, but it's not going to change anything. Mm-hmm. You know, immigration, his client tells him going to come in and say, I love your curtains. What this is all about is really the element of where he really wants to be in this role and why you really came in order to help people in the process of becoming a citizen. And especially in this day and age, when it is most challenging, and several of the cases are very authentic and real and human, this is where the importance is. So if he can go online and if he has papers he could publish regarding the event, or if he can have mm-hmm. a current affairs website where he comments on the current atmosphere of immigration rules and regulations and what challenges there are ahead, and what he seems to approach the topic, I think this mm-hmm. is my first brainstorming idea that you could present to him.
Well, and also, you know, because it's such a hotbed of controversy right now, the immigration issue, he really could do himself a favor by putting himself out in a more public view, because, I mean, this is
There ought to be a current immigration affair page that he produces online. And if you're talented in that area to help him produce that would be a really good start.
And what about outreach, I think, to communities that are, you know, that have many immigrants in them that are not legal necessarily? I mean, what languages do you speak, Erica?
I speak Spanish. He's white, and he speaks Spanish and Chinese.
He's pretty out there.
Well, yeah. What do you think of that idea? Has that already been done, or is that something you can tackle?
I think that you came up with a really good idea. Really learning what he's all about, like what popped his interest, and getting himself out there in a way of it, like heart to heart. I really like that idea. And also because he is,
Go ahead. He is what?
Because he is multilingual, he should be using those on his website to, like, you know, reach out to those people in Chinese and Spanish and English,
and
he needs to use that.
The paper, the newspaper idea, I mean, you can put ads in, like, you know, these newspapers for the, you know, Hispanic communities. There's Chinese. I'm sure there's, you know, little regional newspapers for these groups. And then that would bring more visibility to this attorney. But also going out there, I mean, she speaks Spanish. She could.
Well,
you
here's
know,
the thing, you know, you have the internet. There's your resource. He sounds like he's somewhat introverted. He's not a real sociable, flamboyant personality. Hopefully his writing skills are sound. And you can have different blogs, or you can have different outlets that tackle certain issues on immigration and put it out there. And people who are searching are going, you know, and allowed him to ask questions. And he's going to gather, he's going to get...
He probably would need to blog, though, in those, you know, in those in Spanish and Chinese, as well as English, which is going to be a lot of work, because he's going to have to put in work, too. I mean, Eric is not going to be able to do a Chinese blog.
But he's sitting, you know, he's got nothing to do. He's twiddling his thumbs. He could sit in his office and, you know, go on the computer and start interacting with a lot of people. I think that's what's going to help. And maybe you can even help assist in that and give your ideas and read up. And it's good, excellent practice for you, because you could state a few opinions too under his jurisdiction he can direct you. And, you know, so that's where I think it should go, Erica.
Okay, Erica.
Yeah. It sounds like advocating. And I really like the idea. I also went to a few websites online at LA, immigration law firms in LA, and I want to see what they're currently, you know, how they have their website, compare and kind of be like critiquing, I like this and I don't like that. So you also grow from learning from other people, from seeing what they're doing.
Definitely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay, take care, Erica, and let us know how things go. Mm-hmm.
Yay. Thank you for the advice, both of you.
You're welcome. You're welcome.
Yep. Bye.
And congratulations on the job. Okay. So we've got other callers, Neil.
Okay, let's go ahead and take
Okay. And this is Lena. Hi.
Hi, Kristen. How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm okay. I wanted to see what Neil sees for me. I got a temporary job, Neil, at Macy's, but I really need, you know, more money than that.
Wait. You got a job. When did you get the job?
Well, I got it last week, and I start next week at Macy's, but it's only, like, seasonal work.
Like seasonal? First, what department are you working in?
I'm working, like, helping them with displays and stuff.
Oh, so in, like, the window dressing.
Yeah, that sounds kind of fun.
That's great. I mean, that's the first point that is, you know, we need to validate the fact that a job came in. I know it's not enough money, but that's the first note that needs to be said, because Lena's been looking for a job for a really long time. The second thing is it part-time?
I thought it was part-time, and then I went back to look at the ad that I got the email from, and it said full-time. So I was a little surprised that it's full-time, because I thought it was part-time, because then I could at least look for something the rest of the time. So I'm a little concerned that if I'm working full-time there, I'm not going to be able to look for a better job.
Well, one, if you do excellent work there, a lot of times these seasonal positions turn into full-time positions.
Yeah.
I know this for a fact. So you have to put your best foot forward and do a terrific job so they want to hold on to you. It may not be in the display department. They may put you in a different department, or they may keep you in that department. But if you do good work, you know, it's going to make you very appealing to the employer. What are you going to say, Neil?
Well, I have the same thing. Same thing, Lena. This is a testing ground for you, and if they like you, you could be a shoo-in if you start to express what department you'd like to work in, and they like the way you're working, and you start putting yourself out there at Macy's and, you know, whatever it is, cosmetics or whatever it may be. You can establish a position. This is excellent. Now, the advantage you have is that you can keep looking for other work. You don't have to stay there. But if you have a foot in the door and you gain a consistent work there in another department after the season, because you see what happens now is it gets into the holidays and then gets into Christmas. So they're going to want to keep you on. If they like you. So the seasonal thing is they kettle everybody in, and then they start waiting out when the season dies down. But we're not going to be dying down until January.
Yeah.
It's just not going to die down. Christmas is madhouse. They need more people than they can get. And then you can start to maneuver your way into an area. And at the same time, you're not happy there, but you do have a stronghold there. You can also be looking for other work in the meantime.
Mm-hmm. So how many hours, when she was fading in and out when she was talking earlier, how many hours are you going to be working on average, did you say?
Well, they told me full time. So what is full time? 35 hours?
35 to 40?
Something like that. I could still keep looking, but it's kind of hard to work a full-time job when you're looking for something else, especially when you just start a new job.
It is, but you can manage to do it by getting your resume out there to other employers, but, you know, really right now the first loyalty should be to this job and making a great impression on them so that they keep you.
Yeah.
You know? So that, I think that's the best advice.
What is the kind of work you're looking for?
She does accounting. So this is like she's in a totally different.
Well, if you know what accounting? What do you make? Maybe $30,000 a year if you get a full time job.
No,
more than that.
No, I was making almost $40,000 a year. You know, this is $8 an hour. I mean, that's a huge difference in pay.
What are you making at Macy's? I hate to ask, it's personal. You're making $8,000, really?
Yeah, $8 an hour.
You're paying $8. Well, it's totally different in Florida than with wages, though, huh?
Yeah.
Well, you know,
here.
You said I said 30, and you said no, 40, like it was a big dramatic.
It wasn't a big.
It's not a big. That's not a huge. That's not a huge difference. But
I would have said
60.
I would.
More. But
no, not in Florida.
Yeah.
You know, you can still. It's not a. You don't have a problem. You don't have a problem. You work at Macy's, and you secure yourself there, and you and listen. If you get a job accounting, then you switch over to accounting. Macy's is not going to go out of business because you left. So there, you know, whatever they came and effort they put into it. You know, you have a foot in the door now. You're working. Don't minimize the $8 right now.
No.
Are you getting any benefits from the job or no? Are they required to do that?
No, I don't think so. They didn't tell me any benefits. I don't know.
I know, but
that would have been 90 days anyway.
Yeah. Okay. I don't really know the rules, but anyway. So I guess that's what we'd say to do. And you know, if you can submit your resumes, like we said, on the side. In your off hours, your days off, you can use to look for other jobs simultaneously, and then you know do a great job at the Macy's.
Yeah.
Well, congratulations! Mm-hmm. Second job today on the show. That's good.
Really? Must be on a roll. I know October is usually like a new beginning month, you know, because it's a 1 month. So I think a lot of new beginnings are going to be happening in October. It's usually like
we'll see.
New month. I need some new beginnings. I'm having some bad problems with my family, but that's an ongoing problem with my life. Has always been my family.
Yeah. Well, I mean, sometimes it's better to separate if it's possible.
Yes. I blocked them.
Yeah, sometimes that's better if you can get away and then kind of do the healing work outside of the, you know, drama. So.
Yeah, I need peace in my life. I don't need somebody, you know, cursing me out and stuff like that. I can't
get on my feet.
I can't get on my feet if somebody is, you know, putting me down, calling me names and stuff. I just can't. I can't function, you know.
Yeah.
It's like that saying, people kick you when you're down. My family kicks you when you're down. They don't offer you a hand.
It's counterproductive, I think, to moving forward when it's too unhealthy. So it's good that you did that, Lena.
Okay. Well, great. I'm on a good start.
Yeah, you are. Congratulations. Aren't you happy for me?
Thanks.
Yeah, perfect. Yeah, well, that's the story. So just, forget, you know, concentrate on your job right now. Don't put your head into an area where people are putting you down. You don't need it.
No.
So just don't even obsess on it. Just let it go and move over to the job. Focus on that. Keep looking for accounting work and take care of yourself.
Okay. Thanks a lot.
Okay. Take care, Lena.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. 562-596-7818 is the number to call for more conversation, and the call-in number 914-338-0164. Do press 1 if you'd like to speak with us. We have a caller on in queue. Hi.
Hey, how are you doing?
Good, thanks. Who's this, please?
This is Sherry.
Oh, hey, Sherry.
How
I recognize
you?
Your number for some reason. It's been a while. How are you?
Oh, awesome.
Give us your birth date again, please. You're like a 9 or 8 or something, but I can't remember.
4/11/73.
73. 4, 5, 6.
I think it condenses down to. Yeah, that's what I was going to say. I think it does go down to an 8.
So, Sherry, you last spoke with us regarding a move to California. You're in Texas, right?
Right.
So, What's going on with the move?
I'm pretty comfortable that the plan is in place. Just wanted to see what you're picking up as far as ease of selling the house here in Texas.
Okay, ease of selling the house in Texas. You put the house on the market yet?
It will be in a couple of weeks. I'm getting it ready right now. I'm cleaning up.
Wow.
Does she... Does she have a place where she's moving?
Oh, yeah. Well, you probably haven't picked a place yet. You're going to rent in California, weren't you?
Well, I was going to buy a tiny house with the proceeds, and I'm going up there in a month to look at some land near, I guess, Shasta area.
So this is a different
a
area.
We had
talked about Southern California before, the canyons, I remember, and the ocean, but Shasta, you've got mountains and a lake, which is kind of similar.
Yeah, northern is what I'm thinking would be a little more
suited. The weather's
better
up there, I think. Well, though it gets hot.
I agree. You read my mind. That's exactly what I was thinking. It was 108 every day I was down there to visit this past month, and I'm like, I can't do that.
Yeah. Well, then you were probably inland in California?
Topanga.
Yeah, that's hotter there than by the coast.
Yeah, they
sure.
have a beautiful, in Topanga, they have a beautiful mountain pass that you can go through. It's beautiful. It's a drive.
Oh, yeah. It was wonderful. And it's beautiful, and it's pricey. And like I said, it's not out of the question forever. It's just probably four seasons and cool. Sounds super good right now.
Yeah. I mean, Neil and I love, like, fall weather.
Me too.
So.
You know, Sherry, where right now does about $45,000 fit into your mindset? Where is that figure coming from?
That was, in really 45 to 50, that was the max I'm willing to pay for this tiny house.
Oh, okay. Because
it's still relatively new. I don't need to spend $100,000 on it and... You know, people are still not sold on the idea, and then I'd be stuck with something, you know, that depreciates, basically.
So you're looking, I mean, $45,000, $50,000, is that for down payment or the full?
That's how much they run. I could get one for about $50,000, $55,000, and I'm willing to go up to about $55,000.
About $55,000. So these are really small places?
400 square feet or less.
Well, if it fits your needs.
Yeah,
you know, it's kind of fun. And are you single?
Yes.
Yeah. So
and it's a big, great way to explore California without locking down into something where I'm not even sure I want to live. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I think it's kind of an exciting adventure for you, Sherry. I see some good things coming. So I think you'll probably secure a place in Shasta, and. It'd be somewhere between $45,000 and $50,000.
Okay.
And you'll love it. You'll just love it. And I don't know. Am I wrong? And if I'm wrong, it's no big deal. And this isn't a big deal question. But did you ever live with a cat?
Did I ever what?
Live with a cat, like a not a winning cat, but a feline.
No, I've always been a dog person, but I'm open to a kitty if it gets along with the dogs, of course.
Oh, so you have an animal that's going to come with you?
Two dogs.
Are they smaller dogs?
No, medium and German Shepherd.
Oh, love.
Well, good for you.
It's like my favorite breed,
okay, well,
German Shepherd.
Then let's
and that's part of the reason why Topanga didn't work, because we need more space. We need to get out and hike and walk and stuff, and that's why the 11 acres up near the Sierra Vistas would probably work for us a lot better.
Okay, so yeah, just to tweak for a second, I saw animals around you. I thought it was a cat. It doesn't matter. I just saw animals around you, and and so it's a
and
dog.
And you know, I'm open to a cat. You know, some of them get along with German Shepherds just fine.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, did you ever read The Incredible Journey?
No, I haven't.
Oh, take a look at it. It's about two dogs and a cat, and they travel in the woods together. They escape and they hang out together. It's a great book, and it was also made into a Disney film. Not bad.
I haven't read it. Why didn't you tell me I'm going to read it now?
The Incredible Journey.
Yeah. I'll read it too. I love that.
Yeah, you'll like it.
Oh.
So I don't know. For some reason, I think in your adventure out there, you're going to get a cat. It's going to be kind of like a top cat, but he's going to love the dogs. You know how cats get along with dogs and they rub against them, and
yeah,
the dogs kind of look at the cat. What the hell are you? How did you get into this? But then they start to accept the cat. And so I see a real happy family there. I see you two, you with two dogs and a cat. You'll be in Shasta. You'll love it. You'll have a great time.
And don't you do like readings, or are you involved in spiritual community and things like that?
Yes. Yes.
So that's an area where there's, there's a big spiritual community in Shasta, right?
Yeah. Supposedly at Stargate or something up there, Telosians.
Yeah. Well, they have great, you really see a lot of stars up there, not movie stars, but sky.
right.
And so it's a beautiful area. The lake is beautiful. And so, it's really, when you're traveling up north from California and you get to Lake Shasta, suddenly the beauty of the terrain changes. And as you move deeper towards into Oregon, it just dramatically starts changing. So it's a really nice area. It does get hot in the summer. But the evenings
are going to be cooler there.
The evenings are very clear. The sky almost has this beautiful blue essence to it. The stars are outstanding against the sky. You'll love it.
Jesus, hot there right now. It's going to be 91 today.
Yeah, it's hot there.
It's hot there.
Nice. So the whole key to this is the proceeds off this sale of this home here. Are you guys seeing anything, you know, concerning that?
Can we ask what city? What city do you live in?
Lubbock.
Lubbock.
Oh, my God. I was going to ask you about Lubbock. I was going to ask you beforehand about Lubbock just because
Neil wrote a book.
A book that took
place in
Lubbock.
You're kidding.
No.
Yeah. No, I wrote a book and it takes place in Lubbock.
It's called Becoming Brown.
Yeah. Becoming Brown. But I wrote it back in the 70s, early 70s. And at that time, it was considered the dustiest city in America.
Right.
Dust. And so I wrote it, and I don't know why, but in it, I placed a lot of bigoted characters.
Well, you wouldn't be far off.
Oh,
okay,
yeah.
Good. I mean, I know that, what's his name?
You were probably ahead of, you probably were spot on the environment out here.
Oh, yeah, so that's another reason why you want to get out. But
it's
in terms
more,
of Lubbock, go ahead.
Yeah. Yeah, it'll probably be better for me and more of a spiritual deal.
Yeah.
I've been here 16 years. I've paid my dues, so.
You were going to say something, Neil, about
the book? So it's pretty right. It can be dusty and a lot of bigoted people. I also imagine there's some desolate places there, a lot of flat places, because there was a lot of cotton there. Is that true?
Yes. And it's developed now. It's not all the Dust Bowl era, but it comes from that. So you were right.
Probably a lot of veins and things there now, like
it's
a college town. It's a college town, Texas Tech. So.
Oh, okay.
There was, Peggy Sue, what's his name, came from there?
Buddy Holly.
Yeah, Buddy Holly.
But, you know, regarding Lubbock in terms of the real estate market, that's kind of what we're trying to answer here.
In terms of selling the house. I don't know. I'm seeing something in the 30 range. I don't know why yet, or maybe it's added to something, but there's something in the 30,000 range or 25, 30,000. First of all, does that trace to anything?
What do you mean? My value, or
could it be maybe the difference in, you know, obviously I'm sure do you have a mortgage on the house and is there a profit?
Yeah, there should
be
more than 30 in there. Yeah, there should be a little bit more than that. Like I said, I was hoping to have 50,000 to
50,
pay for.
So that's under.
Yeah,
50
to 60 grand. Yeah,
50 to 60. So that would be double. That would be 30 times two.
Well,
yeah.
Do you have to pay anything out of that?
Well, 42 is what's left. Maybe that's the number you're seeing. That's what I owe on it.
Okay, that's where it's coming from. So I think it's going to be a kind of smooth transition, Sherry.
Okay. I do too. I just, you know, just I'm in those middle steps, and you know, I see the end. It's weird about how I see my readings. It's tubular. I can see where we're going, but it's that piece in the middle. Jeez.
I know. It's hard sometimes to get from point A to point B.
Right. But
you know,
I agree with you. I get to Northern California, but it's like between now and then the pieces get foggy.
Yeah. But just, you know, stay strong and proceed on the journey, move forward. I mean, I think that's the best thing. Don't get mired down in the details and all the stuff that you have to do in between, because you have a destiny, obviously, there that you're creating. So,
yeah.
Okay, Sherry. Well, hopefully that helps. Let us know. Keep us posted, okay, on what transpires.
Okay. Awesome, guys. Thanks for telling me about the book.
Oh, you're welcome. Check it out.
I will.
I think
Brown.
Broomfield or something like that. I can't remember the author. I think it's a woman. A man. I can't. But anyways, you'll enjoy it.
Your book.
She's talking about your book.
Oh, my book. Yeah.
Yeah, it's Neil's books are on Amazon.com, and you look under Neil Baker. There's an author page there. So there's a lot of stuff that you can read.
Perfect. Thanks, guys. I appreciate that.
Take care. Okay.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
All right, so we are going to get to discuss
a little bit.
Yeah.
Balance.
So the thing is, I mean, it's funny because, you know, there's a lot, we were talking about balance being, balancing, spirit being the center of balance and, you know, the body and the mind, its offshoots. But, you know, there are a lot of people that don't even consider spirit when it comes to balance. I mean, they think they have lead balanced lives, but there's no real anchor in the spirit.
Yeah, well, partially because spirit is not absolutely concerned with the earth. So most people have problems with earth conflicts, the home and the relationships and jobs and health. So there's so much earth energy going on that the main, in the forms of balance, and in order to get balance, you kind of need this attitude that there might it's a little bit more complicated because you can have a balance of scale, but here we're looking at it in a triangular way because of spirit. So first of all, I think in the first process of balance, one has to, if you want to take it step by step, you have to first of all have balance of body. And balance of body would mean that you look at your life in a physical way and you say to yourself, how much balance do I have? Do I have a home? Is it stable? Do I have a relationship? Is it stable? How is my health? Is it stable? If those three main attitudes are stable, home, job, relationship, then you can start to say, okay, I don't need to reach... I can start to reach a little bit further into the mental capacity of intellect and knowledge and things like that. What you're basically using the mental attitude for when you're in the first chakra or the earth chakra, the physical chakra, is you have to think, I'm using my mind in order to maintain stability because I have to have a stable environment. I have to have stable relationship, stable job, stable health. So you're using your brain for that. So people will start to put their brain matter to finding somebody that they can feel balanced with, or finding a job that they can really be happy with, or finding a home that they can be comfortable and balanced with. See, you're putting your brain not towards spiritual things. And it doesn't mean that spirituality is always hanging around. It's, you know, we're not talking about the purity of spirituality yet, because that's a whole different, that hasn't even appeared on the stage yet. It has a shadow that it's casting, because you might say, well, I want a job that enriches my spirit. I want a relationship that enriches my spirit. I want to live in a place where I can feel spiritually enriched. There's nothing wrong with saying that, but that's not the essence of spirituality. That character hasn't appeared on the stage yet.
Okay, so
what we've got
yet
is the mental and the physical, and a person is putting most of their brain power to the lower physical chakra. And in that regard, you're also at the same time establishing balance because you're working on an agreement that your mind, your mental faculties are going to be able to maintain your foundation. So that's the first agreement you have in the form of balance. And that's what, Chris, and that's typically the calls we get. They far outweigh the higher esoteric spiritual questions. We do get calls like that, but a lot of people who are connecting with us connect more to mind-body. That's where it's coming from. And yes, that includes yoga and meditation and things like that.
Right, because, you know, being, we'll talk about the spiritual category in a minute, what that really means. As opposed to, I like to read tarot cards and sometimes I call a radio show. That's not real spirituality. I mean, it's touching.
It's a shadow of it. But the essence of it is not, that's a whole different discussion. It's really not included in the Earth's discussion. It's really not there. It's a whole, and it should have a special category because it's not really of the Earth. Spirit comes from a different element. So we're here basically trying to find a circumference of the body, which includes the mind and knowledge and entertainment and all those things. And the mind has the privilege of going into spiritual matters. So we're not excluding spirituality. We're just not right now residing totally in spirit in our discussion of maintaining, achieving balance. So we get into that area. Now, obviously you need the mind in order to achieve balance in the physicality of life, unless you're totally codependent and you're just, but again, Stephen Hawking, you can have people who are crippled in chairs who need the assistance of others, and they can still have a certain balanced mind principality. So you can still find balance within the mental state itself. One of the true tests of mental balance, excluding relationship, job, home, are prisoners. When you're a prisoner of war, or even when you're in solitary confinement, you're on death row, whatever it is, that's where the maintenance of mind becomes most crucial. Now, yeah, you can exercise in your cell, or you can be given 20 minutes and you go to the weightlifting room or something. That's fine. But that won't do any good unless you have the balance of mind. So the more confined you are, understand this, the more confined you are, the balance is going to shift over to the mind.
Mind, because you don't have the physical body to...
You can't maneuver. There's no room for the relaxation and the freedom of discovering yourself. So you have to have balance of mind. Now, if that's true, then I think it's crucial that even if you're not in that dramatic context, this is how important the mind is, because if you don't have balance within the mind, what difference does it mean? How many people find their, quote, soulmate, and a year later they're in the divorce court, or they're fighting, or they betrayed one another? The immediacy of thinking that one has found balance and pleasure in any given situation, that's like ice cream.
It's transient. It's transient.
Yeah. Very temporary. So the idea is that when the pleasure is stripped away, when all the decoration is taken down, what
remains?
Now we get into the idea of the chakra system and the balance of all the chakra systems within this concept. Because, of course, we have every chakra system is going to have certain layers. So we have a certain balance system within each chakra.
Right. There's 7 layers in each chakra, essentially.
Yeah. So in that regard, if we're now looking at, let's say we're looking at the first chakra and we're trying to figure out how do we maintain balance in a home? Well, paying your bills, maintaining the property, making the home, I guess you could almost say spiritually enlightening, freshening it up and putting things in there that are important to you, that mean things. And that even includes like photographs and, you know, whatever it is that you know, well,
call Neil because, for interior design help after the show.
Yeah, no, don't. but anyways, you have balance of that. If you have a strong foundation in balance, like, you know, Sherry was asking about the home she's going to be living in, and the report seemed to be pretty positive. And it appears as though she has a certain attitude about the way a home should be kept. She seemed to be kind of enlightened about that. So you want to have a sense of enlightenment about your environment too, so that balance in the first chakra is sound. Now, that also means that as that's going on, you have to look at the balance of your body. Because if you're depressed,
anxious,
it won't matter how well
sick,
your house looks.
All yeah. those things, mental and physical health.
So you have to have
body-wise.
That attitude too. And so in that regard, that includes the position of the psyche, and also the position of how one relates. How do you spend your time? If one test of balance is ask yourself, how often am I bored? How often do I feel down? How hard is it to get myself out of bed in the morning? Do I tend to get depressed at any given time in the day? Do I tend to go down at night? Do I feel, we have a lot of clients when they wake up in the morning, they don't even want to get out of bed. They're just depressed. And they have to kind of, like an old machine, they have to work and work and work. And finally, by 10 or 11, they start to cheer up a little bit. But they repeat every day. They go to bed and they wake up depressed. Other people at night, temperatures drop, the sun's no longer out, and people start to close up and get depressed there at that time. A lot of people cry themselves to sleep because they're not happy. And in that regard, it's not going to really matter whether you're in a beautiful home or not. There are people who have very seemingly stable relationships and they still feel alienated.
Or, yeah.
Because of some, maybe a psychological or emotional problem. So that offsets the whole balance symbol of all the chakra systems that we have and all the areas of mind, body, and soul that we maintain. What some people do in order to escape achieving balance is they say, well, you know what? I'm going to resign myself. I'm just not going to have, I'm done with relationships. They're too difficult. Who needs it? I'm feeling so comfortable in my own skin. I'm not looking for relationships anymore. I'm in my 50s. Yeah, I still have a life left. But you know what? I'm shutting that up.
But you know, let's differentiate between a healthy absence from relationships, because sometimes people don't need a relationship. I mean, being in a relationship is not a requirement for having a healthy life. But we're talking about when that door is closed,
yeah,
with an energy of anger or frustration or, you know, that type of thing.
Right. Despair, it doesn't work out. So you have that kind of, sometimes you have that, but is that really achieving balance? Not really.
No.
By choice, you're making a choice to eliminate something and work with what you've got, and then you can find balance within that zone. I mean, there are a lot of people who are very happy without being in a relationship.
Yeah, and there are people that devote themselves to spirituality, and they, you know, they're celibate. That's not really what we're talking about in this discussion. We're talking about people that might otherwise have a relationship that stop because of the frustration that they've experienced or the negative experience that they've had.
Yeah, I think it's important that in the moment of existence, in one person's own moment of existence, if they are happy, if they feel complete, then if they're alone but they're happy and they love their life and they appreciate their life, they do what they do, but they don't need to be in a relationship. That's balance too, because you know the solitary life. One of the I mean, it's funny because one of our most solitary creative thinkers was Henry Thoreau.
Yeah, I knew you were going to say that.
But he also wrote on civil disobedience. So, you know, the Walden Pond, the Walden, and he wrote another sequel to Walden, and then on civil disobedience, you have the aspect that there can be a certain sense of rage, even within tranquility. So a lot of people who seek, John Muir was another one.
Solitude, are passionate about causes or certain.
Yeah, yeah. It's
politics.
You know, it's funny because if you're going to be an individual that completely retreats into nature and is very content with the solitary life, we have a couple of clients who live in the backwoods of nowhere in little trailers that sometimes connect to us, and they are very content in their lives just relating to the animals that visit their home and watching the seasons go by, and they're very content. There's never an issue, oh, when am I going to meet this person, or when am I going to meet that person, or how much money am I going to make, or would you see me traveling? Now, these people don't ask these questions. They just are very content with the solitary existence. And sometimes they reach out to us just for the, I guess, the human need of that. Somebody else understands that, and they'd like to have a little bit of feedback or a sounding board and connect, and maybe to explore something deeper within the psyche or the cosmos or existence itself. And they appreciate that, and they have modest little readings every once in a while, and there's no issue about, oh, you know, you've got to actualize yourself, and you've got to
make a name for yourself in the world.
Now they're balanced. Now we get somebody who's very successful. They're hard driving, successful people. They make over $1 million a year. They have 10 cups of coffee, 20 cigarettes. They are always on the go when you're talking to them. They're answering calls in between the reading. They're frantic. They can't focus on one thing. And yet they live in a huge house, a mansion. They make tons of money. They got a couple of cars. They even sometimes, some of them even have kids and wife or a husband. And yet when we get off the phone with them, it's like, oh, what in the heck? Because when you look at the word of balance, you can achieve things. And we're talking about the achievement of noteworthy aspirations, but at the same time, if you don't have balance, you can drop dead from a heart attack. You're destroying your body, because what's going on is conflict. You know, we talk about civil disobedience, we're talking about personal disobedience, how we fight our own bodies, thinking that some people think that there I like these people who say, there has to be tension in my life, and there has to be arguments and negativity, or it's not going to work. And they look for negative energy because they haven't learned how to find perfection and balance in a positive flow. They think that that's going to get you nowhere. So they need what they need is this interaction. They need a contrast. They need this duality. They can't work unless they're in battle. We've got clients who say, I work with somebody and all they want to do is argue. And they feed on it. If we're not arguing, it looks like they're like out to lunch. They're totally bored and seem totally apathetic. So some people live on conflict, and those people will swear to you, hey, that's my balance. Leave it alone. That's how I find it. So we talk about the individual journey of what balance means in certain areas of life too.
Well, you know, Neil, I think that we could probably talk about this on Friday again, because we're wrapping up the show, and get more into the aspect of spirit, because we talked a lot about mind and body today, and how to do, you know, achieve that pyramid with spirit at the top. We are back on the air. I think one of our, before I go to that point. I think we're going to do an upcoming topic on ascension versus Armageddon. So stay tuned for that. That's not going to be this week, but that's going to be a fun one we're planning. And we are back on the air on Friday at 9 a.m. Pacific, 12 p.m. Eastern. And we thank our callers and listeners for their participation. Bye-bye.